Every single day I feel
the Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double out the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
What's up, what's down up, welcome back, That One Studio, it's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. Let's go, man. We're rocking shows this week. I think I have, believe it or not, this is crazy. I don't even know if I want to tell everybody this. I have 19 podcasts. I'm so curious.
That's amazing.
And 12 last week. So
that's incredible.
I found something that works. I love doing it, and I can help people and build relationships. And it's like, you know, we had an episode earlier today, and the guy was talking about obsession, addiction. Is it really a bad thing, or is it what you're obsessed and addicted to? That's the bad thing.
Ooh, right? I like that.
So I feel like I'm obsessed with this, and when I find something that works, you know, I stick with it. So let me welcome the audience, listener. Listen, whether you're watching or listening, however you're consuming this content, I want to really, really, like, genuinely thank you for being here. Thank you for your support of the show and my guests. Means the world to me. We're doing this to make sure you remind you that you're unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. And every guest that we bring on, we find out the ingredients that have gone into making them who they are. So Lauren Salon's in the building. She's an entrepreneur, women's coach, host of the Amplify podcast, PR agency owner, and real estate investor. She's also a friend of mine now. And as a coach for high-performing women, she specializes in emotional intelligence, masculine, feminine energetics, embodiment, somatic healing, and vision casting and execution. The main focus of her coaching is supporting women who want to step into new levels of authenticity, confidence, sexual expression, magnetism, alignment, and abundance. She also, as mentioned, owns a PR and marketing agency, Influence Impact, and runs several Airbnb properties. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and get into all the juicy stuff we're going to talk about.
Let's do it. Well, thank you also for having me on your show. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
And I hope I lit it up for you and your audience. And has that been,
it hasn't been out yet. I've been doing such a good job, I think, of pre-recording and like planning my episodes ahead that it's not out yet, but it should be out in the next few weeks.
Okay. Do me a favor. Send me the raw content and I'll get my team to cut it up too and promote your show. Okay.
Okay. Amazing.
All right. Everybody watching that goes on shows, pay attention to what I just did. You want to get the content and help the show host out. Double the content and expose the podcast. And all show hosts always give the raw content. I've never had anybody say no to me. But most people forget this step if you're a podcast guest because you have control now of also promoting the show. So, Lauren, I apologize for taking a moment away here
to
that.
No, I completely agree with that because then also it's, yes, you're promoting whatever show you were on. So that's a nice way of saying thank you, right, to the host, because it's going to get them a little bit more visibility and everything like that. But then also think about all the amazing video clips or audio clips of yourself speaking that you can then pull. There you go. Tons of content already ready to share.
Yeah. And the whole goal is to become omnipresent. So everywhere somebody looks, they see you.
Yep.
Because if you have a mission that you're on, I mean, we talk about obsession. You got to get obsessed. And most of the time, people don't see your first 2, 5, 6 posts.
Exactly.
So if you really want to be seen, you got to be out there all the time.
Exactly. I had someone ask me recently, actually, who was like, how did you get so good at social media? And like, it looks like must be a full-time job. Like, do you have a coach? Like, what is going on? And I was like, nope. I've always been a very natural marketer and love sharing my life, what I'm interested in, all that kind of stuff. And I figured out amazing systems to put a lot of content out really quickly and easily. And I don't spend that much time creating content or putting content out, but I have a ton of content going out on a regular basis.
Yeah, you do a really great job with that. And you should have told everybody that. You should have just said, make it like, oh man, I slave away at this.
I do, but I do have, I'm going to pitch myself. I do have a mini course. I think it's $97 called Prolific to teach you how to create a crap ton of content in like
Where can I find that? Let's get that out of the way.
On my website, laurensalon.com. I think it's just, laurensalon.com/prolific. All about content creation.
And by the way, if you guys can't find it, just DM me and I'll make sure you get in touch with Lauren.
Awesome.
Does that sound like a deal?
Thanks. Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's get into the show. I always start the show with the same question, Lauren, and that's with the question, what are you made of?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question because I know this is something you ask all the time. And I'm like, gosh, this is, it's not an easy question to answer because it's like, I'm made of so many things and so many experiences. And what I would say is, we're going to get a little like esoteric over here, but the best way for me to sum that up is I'm made of the same energy, power, all of that that has gone into creating everything in the entire universe, like the same power, energy, you know, light that's created you. So like that's like how I sum that up. And then beyond that, right, like made of a deep desire to experience life. I'm made of a very tenacious curiosity, made of a lot of resilience and perseverance as well. And just like, I think especially now in where I'm at in my life and who I am as a woman, I'm made of so much love, so much gratitude, appreciation, vision, drive, all of those things.
Awesome. Awesome. Great answer. I like that answer. And I always tell people you can be literal or esoteric with this. You might've heard me say that before. So you use that word. So everybody's got a story, Lauren. And you know, the stories is what makes us, you know, who we are today and what we're doing today, what our mission is. And, you know, since we connected initially on Instagram, when I DM'd you and, you know, I watch people's content, I watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram and other socials for not just consumption, but I'm investigating, researching, looking for people that are doing great things. And I don't hesitate to reach out. So I DM them and I did that to you and then we connected. And, you know, I know some of your story just through your content, right? But we don't know all of it. We don't know the behind the scenes of it. And everybody's got a story. So what's your story, Lauren?
Yeah, my goodness. Okay. So the super cliff notes of it are like, I grew up as somebody who did all the things, every single sport I was involved in, music, art, animals, like everything, and excelled in school. And I, most of my life was overachiever, perfectionist, turned into workaholic, like all this kind of stuff, whether from like elementary school, high school, college, like Little Miss do everything, Little Miss perfectionist, overachiever, like, and so much of that for me was me seeking validation and getting my worth through what I was doing, right? And how, and what I was accomplishing and what people thought of me. And so those themes of overachieving, perfectionism, go, 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 do, 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 like that continued in college. It continued into my career, right? Like I double majored in college instead of graduating early, like that sort of thing. Cause I'm like, why not just do more? Right. And then after college, ended up working at a PR agency that specialized in crisis PR. So that was like a perfect, and it was kind of a startup as well. So that was a perfect setting for those qualities of mine, like being a workaholic, overachiever, like nonstop, no boundaries with my like time and energy for others, really. That was a perfect combination for me to head into like massive burnout and everything like that. And so at that point, you know, I had been at that agency for about 4 years, and there are two big like turning points in my journey as far as where I'm at now. And so this was one of them. I was 4 years at that agency and I looked at making good money. I'd been promoted many times. Like I, you know, on the outside, like very important, very successful, like all that kind of stuff. And I remember this moment when I looked around and there was nobody at that company whose life or job I wanted. And so that was a huge wake up call. Cause I was like, oh no, this is the path that I'm heading down. What, like where these other women, men, like where they're all at, I don't want that at all. Like so-and-so just had a baby like a month ago and the baby's under the freaking desk in the baby carrier. Like, I'm like, no, that like, sure, she got a Range Rover, but like, I don't want this life, you know? And so I decided to leave for like two big reasons. Also, the last year I was there, I was having like a panic attack related to work, like regularly, like on a weekly basis. Sometimes I'm like, I just need to go to the bathroom for a moment and cry, right? And then come back to my desk and keep working. And so I decided to leave for two big reasons that I could, so that I could do work I was more passionate about, more aligned with, and just like enjoyed more. Cause at the end of the day, I wasn't really, it was crisis PR in the healthcare hospital industry, not really my interests. And I also left, and this is the bigger reason, so that I could have more freedom, flexibility, and control over how I worked, when I work, who I work with, like all of that. And so that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And when my own agency really started, even though back then, like, it looks so different now than what it did when I first started working for myself. And then fast forward a few years, and those habits, you know, the self-worth issues, the perfectionism, the overachieving, overworking, like all of that had continued. And so back when I thought, when I was working for somebody else, it was easy to like blame those habits on my situation, right? Like, oh, well, my boss or the company, right? And then when I was the boss, I was like, oh, I'm the problem, right? And so that led me down a big journey of healing, self-awareness, all of that. Around that time, I was also newly married, and a lot of the work that I do, which we'll talk about more, but a lot of the coaching work I do is with women on healing their masculine energy and feminine energy. And so I used to be very, very stuck in my masculine energy, right? That, and in an unhealthy way too. And so in my then marriage, I attracted somebody who was very much in his feminine energy and not in his masculine energy. And that worked for us for a little while. But then when I started to really do a lot of inner work to like heal and balance out more, it, you know, created a lack of compatibility among other things in our relationship. And in 2020, I decided to, well, it's crazy because within 2 months in 2020, COVID happened, my PR agency blew up really, really fast, and I decided to end my marriage all in the same like 60 days. So that was really intense and threw me into a like even more deep healing and understanding myself, all of that. And that's really where the probably the biggest turning point in my life as far as the work that I do now, because that required me to really, really dive into my healing, to really like heal that the self-worth stuff and like why I was putting myself into these situations of the overdoing, like seeking validation from outside sources, all that kind of stuff. And so here we are now, right? Four years later, and I've not only like healed my masculine feminine energy, but that's the kind of work that I get to do with other women on really like, how can you achieve success and create this beautiful life for yourself while also feeling very, very grounded in your feminine essence, in who you are, connected to your body, connected to your intuition, you know, having healthy boundaries, all of that kind of stuff. So that's the summary of here, how we got here.
Got it. So let me ask you this question. So
yes,
what is can you describe a man that's in like in his feminine and kind of stuck there? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, for those absolutely. Listening
that don't understand that.
Yeah. So, and great question. And the interesting thing is my ex-husband, great man. We had a beautiful relationship in many, many ways. I'm so thankful too, because we had a very amicable and respectful divorce. And so if we're thinking about, so, and I'll explain it like a woman who's really stuck in her masculine. So masculine energy, men and women, we all have masculine and feminine energy within us. It's not tied to gender. It's an energetic thing. Generally, men are going to show up in the world more in their masculine, women more in their feminine. And what that looks like it's a spectrum and it's fluid. Like that can shift depending on what you have going on in your day, right? There, I often structure my schedule with more like masculine energy days or time blocks and feminine energy days, because it can be hard to like flip-flop between the energies. But anyway, so my point is it's fluid, it's on a spectrum, all of that. And so with masculine energy, that's output energy. It's penetrative, it's more the thinking energy, the doing energy. It's very end goal focused and like laser focused on one thing often. With feminine energy, that's more receptive, right? It's input energy, it's more feeling, it's more wanting connection and community than like laser focused on the goal. And so I, you know, past me being stuck in my masculine, I was just like competitive, controlling a bit, like very much like achieve, 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 great resume, like all that kind of stuff. And had a lot of struggled, like feeling in my feminine energy, like feeling soft, vulnerable, like all that kind of stuff, like needing, you know, wanting support, like receiving support, all of that. And so a man in his feminine is going to often be, and how this looked with my ex, a lot of his validation came from me. It wasn't on like his mission, his purpose. His worth and validation was very attached to me. And so that's some of the unhealthy feminine coming up, that needing validation from other people. And so, you know, another way is, I mean, men who are not really focused on their purpose and what they're building and what they're creating, that's a man who's not really grounded in his, you know, healthy masculine energy. Overly emotional and getting swayed by your emotions, that shows up as unhealthy feminine, or that is evidence of unhealthy feminine. What else?
I mean, would that cause conflict and squabbles and arguments?
In my relationship, it less caused arguments and it more, I'm going to speak very freely, of course, right? I always felt like I was the one who wore the pants in my relationship. And my ex was a masculine man, college athlete, like not like you wouldn't look at him and be like, oh, that's a man who's in his feminine energy, right? Like you wouldn't. And again, it's not necessarily a looks thing, but you wouldn't look at him and think that those sorts of things, right? And that's not necessarily how it works either. But yeah, so it resulted in me very much feeling like I was the leader of our relationship in all the ways, right? Because I think men and women lead in relationships in different ways. But I felt like I was the leader in the relationship in a lot of ways. I also felt like if we were going to have the life that we talked about having together, it felt very much like it was on me to get us there, as far as I need to work my ass off and make a lot of money, and I need to make sure the fire is lit for him so that he's like focused and like, you know, assertive and like all of that. And I mean, the biggest place that I noticed it initially, which led me into digging deeper about all of this, was in the bedroom, to be perfectly honest, right? And so you can imagine how if that that polarity and that energy balance is off, you're likely not going to be as satisfied intimately as you want. Some women, that's the kind of relationship dynamic they want. For me, not the kind of relationship dynamic I want, or wanted, right? And so that's where initially I saw it happening the most. Like something's off, like something feels off. And then it didn't necessarily matter like what changed in the bedroom, that energy still felt off. And then I was like, okay, something, like I need to look at this deeper. And it wasn't about just like, oh, just mix it up, right? A little bit. It was, no, there's actually like a very fundamental, like wiring thing, like in our energetic foundations with one another, that's what's off. And so much too, like so many of the women that I work with are in relationships like that or have been, right? And find themselves like constantly being in relationships like that because they tend to, yes, be very successful in their professional lives, but they don't know how to also be really grounded in their feminine energy. Because if you're being more near masculine for what you do for work, which unfortunately, like in the corporate world, is kind of required in a lot of ways, if you don't know how to shift out of that in your personal life or just in yourself, you're going to see that showing up in your relationships as well, which from personal experience from women I work with, that's not the kind of dynamic they want with the men in their lives.
Yeah, I get it. And you know, like when you're married, man, by the way, when you're single, you know, being sensual is important. And when you're married, it's important to keep the thing going, right? And yeah, it builds upon itself. So is it something that can be fixed? Or is the answer, once you realize it, is to get out?
I think it can absolutely be fixed. Yeah. And so for me, in my relationship, the right answer was to end things. But
why though? Like, why couldn't it be fixed?
Honestly, I didn't want to anymore. We had been working on things for a few years. And as I say this too, like I'm by no means I'm not currently, but I'm also back then was not perfect. And there are plenty of mistakes that I made and things like that, right? That and everything. So like not, I definitely don't want to just put this all on my ex at all. But we had been working on things for a few years and kind of having the same conversations about stuff. And like every few months, like would have like, hey, this is still an issue for me. This is still like, you know, this is still a problem. We still need to sort of thing. And after that, for kind of just like feeling like I'm in this cycle and things would take like a little step, but then like kind of stop. I got to a point, and this happened early COVID, got to a point where I very clearly, and this was a conversation that I had with him, I said, hey, this stuff is still a problem. We need to work on it. Like had a really very honest, direct conversation, difficult conversation with my ex. And he said to me, he said, oh, well, you haven't said that to me before. This is new information. And I was in shock because I was like, what? No, it's not. I'm like, I feel like I've literally had this exact same conversation with you before. And the fact that you think it's new information means we're not communicating effectively. Like we're completely missing each other and we likely have been for a while. And so at that point I was like, okay, I think I have 6 months of fight left in me for this relationship. And however, I will not do it without us having a therapist, a coach, or something outside of ourselves, because clearly us trying to figure it out on ourselves is not working. Especially if now we're having a conversation about things that I feel like I've said many, many times, but you feel like is new. So like, I'm not communicating effectively. You're not hearing me effectively. And so that was kind of a big turning point for us. And now, I mean, I've come so far since then in my intuition, in my discernment and everything like that. But after that conversation, I think we, within 2 weeks, found a therapist to work with. And in my first conversation with the therapist, like once we signed on and we, you know, each had like a one-on-one deep dive to get to know the therapist separately, in that first conversation, I was like, I actually think I'm already done. Like, I don't want to fight for it anymore. And so I don't know, like, honestly, like if we had addressed these things earlier in the relationship, I don't know that it would have changed the outcome. I think we would have just gotten to that outcome sooner, to be perfectly honest.
Gotcha.
Yeah. However,
you might have been burying some of the facts.
Exactly.
Being in denial with some of the things, right?
Yes. Because that's not the outcome. I never wanted to get divorced. Of course, you know. And so yeah, so that, however, with your initial question, I absolutely think that this sort of thing is fixable, changeable, all of that. And the way to do that, I mean, I think, you know, for my relationship, I think we should have gone to therapy sooner, right? It may have just saved us time of and ended things sooner. Like, who knows what would have happened? I've never once felt like ending our relationship was the wrong decision. Not once.
Right.
Gotcha. And, but yeah, but if you and your partner are committed to the same vision and wanting to make things work, you absolutely can shift these things, but it takes a lot of doing the work on your own, right? Because I remember even with my ex, like I would talk to him about these sorts of things, the masculine, feminine, energetics, like all of that. And he would ask me like, okay, well, how do I then like be more in my masculine energy for you? And that, like, I'm like, I can't coach you on that. One, I'm a woman. Two, that kind of makes it feel even worse for me now. Like, and mind you, there were plenty of ways that I could communicate like, oh, here, like back then I didn't really know also how to communicate that to him. Whereas now I could easily tell a man like what I really love and what makes me feel so good as far as like how he shows up more. But yeah, so that was one of the things too. I'm like, I can't be the one to coach you on this stuff. Now this is even making the problem worse. Right. But yeah, there's a lot you can do to shift that. And when you start shifting it for yourself, especially, that's when you start to see the changes. Like women that I work with who have kind of been in this sort of situation, or they're wanting to bring out more of that really grounded masculine energy from their man. I'm like, don't be nagging at him and telling him, do this. I don't remember. Like, that isn't the way to do it. I'm like, first of all, you get to be in your feminine energy. You show up consistently more in your feminine energy. It will naturally start to bring more of that out of him. And you get to communicate from a place of being so much in your feminine energy. I mean, like, hey, when you helped me with that, like, it made me feel so good and so taken care of and so like just like urge. Looked after by you, right? Like those sorts of things. And my clients, when I give them, it's so simple too. And when I say those things to them, they're like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's all I said to him. And he got so happy and he then wanted to do more things. I'm like, yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah. So approach it from there's a quote in the Bible, or not quote, a verse in the Bible that talks about it's better to live on the corner of a roof than with a nagging wife. So nagging is one way and encouragement is another way. And yes. Hey, I really, really liked when you did this, or I would like it if you did this. So we're going to see how developed you are right now. Okay. Are you ready for this? You said you did a lot of work. We're going to do an exercise here. Now, don't tell me, okay? Because I'm married 21 years. I'm happy married. Don't tell me, but we have listeners. I don't know. Are you single right now?
Yes.
Okay. So you're single right now. We have listeners that may be awesome men that are in their masculine energy.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, does this just turn into a dating show?
Yeah. Shoot your shot, show. We're going to take callers. Now, so speak to the listener right now, and I want you to tell them this person that's out there. Like, what do you expect and what do you like? And that way they know. And I want to see how, if you can communicate that effectively now that you've done all this work.
Oh, as if I'm talking to like, this is so fun. I love this. Wait, so as if I'm talking to a man?
Yeah. Just like you're talking to him, like, hey, this is, just fire away.
Okay. I love a man who is really committed to his vision, his purpose, who's really lit up by what he is creating in the world and what he's passionate about. Like I love seeing that in humans in general, but especially a man that I'm interested in, like whatever he feels like his purpose is and his mission, like I love that. And seeing him like go after that and really like have a hunger for that feels so good to me, to witness. And what else? I love a man who is consistent, who takes action, who, you know, man of his word, like follows through on what he says he's going to do, all of that. For me, I honestly, like, I don't, I'm high maintenance in terms of my standards and like who I allow into my life and like what I require, kind of just like mentally, emotionally, like all of those things. But like, I don't need a ton of, I don't need to be texting all day long, anything like that. I'm like, and like, I think too, honestly, like when, if that's the situation, I'm like, don't you, what else is going on in your life that you're going to be talking to me all damn day, right? Like, come on.
Right, right.
I love to, I mean, if we're talking about stuff that I love, like I love getting flowers. I love being taken on nice dates. And I mean, what else? What?
I don't know. It's a good exercise. We're seeing, how prepared you are, right?
It is a good exercise.
After the show, you're going to be like, I gotta write this stuff down. I got to get clearer on this. Because here's the thing.
I mean, I am very clear on this. I think I'm being shy. I'm very clear on this.
Okay, so I'll take full responsibility for this because I'm not doing a good enough job of that, helping you let your guard down. So this show, look, it's just us and the listeners.
It's just us. It's just us. My dream man. Okay. I love a man who's very masculine in mindset, energy, presence, all of that. I mean, you want, like, as a woman, I mean, this may not be for all women, but for me,
Lauren,
I want to know that, right? Like, I want to know that if there's shit happening, right, that my man can fucking handle business and keep me safe, keep whoever's in the area safe. I like a man who has his foundation built. I mean, that's a requirement. I have a strong foundation myself. And so, yeah, a man who has his foundation built, his money in order, he's building wealth. He likely owns property like he's got his stuff. Like, you know, he's not in the like, oh, I'm just building my stuff phase. Like stuff is built and he's building it bigger. Right. I like a man who's adventurous, who loves to have fun and experience life, a man who's connected to God, who is generous, kind-hearted, steady, calm, grounded energy. Like I like that quiet power where it's like just known and felt, and a man who doesn't have to be like loud and flashy about it. I mean, there's many, I could keep going.
That's a good list. Like, that's a good list. Other questions? Okay, you did a great job.
I mean, man who wants to have a family, like who wants a woman that's going to be his muse.
Yeah. You want somebody that's like, hey, Lauren, listen, we're going here. This is what we're doing tonight. Right.
Yes.
Like telling you like it is and taking control of the situation.
Yes. Right.
And there's nothing wrong with obviously being considerate and saying, hey, would you like to go to Italian or Mexican tonight or something? But nonetheless, sometimes it's like, hey, this is what we're doing tonight. Get your shit together. Let's go. Get your shit on. Let's go. We're going to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you're wearing. Don't worry about what you're wearing. I got something that I think is going to look amazing on you. I love that.
Guys, I hope you're learning here. For those single men out there, listen. Just take some of this stuff, implement it. Don't be overwhelmed by all of it. Just take a couple things that Lauren said, because I have a feeling this isn't just what Lauren wants.
No.
I have a feeling there's a lot of ladies out there that want this because it's a feminine energy thing, like thirst of the feminine energy, mm-hmm. right? And the thirst is common. There's a lot of commonalities between that. So no, that's good stuff. And I think, you know, I've been married 21 years, as I mentioned, and I had to learn this stuff as I went along. And luckily, my wife hung with me. You know, I mean, I've always been like a tough dude and man like that. But there's things that, I don't know, just figure out where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to get? Like, no, this is date night. Thursday night, I want you to be ready by 6:30. And this is what I want you to wear. And this is where we're going.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything else. I got everything else taken care of.
Exactly. And understanding too, like even that approach, like I love that approach, especially like for the first date. Like it doesn't have to be like, this is what you're wearing, but like make the plan, be assertive, make the plan for the first date, like please. And I'm so serious, you can't see my how Italian I'm getting over here. And yes, make the plan, but then like it doesn't have to every single time be like, babe, I made reservations, you know, that right, like that sort of thing. No, like, no. Yes, women want that like take charge attitude and energy. And it can also be as simple as like being like, hey, what sounds like such a perfect date night for you? Or like, hey, like I want you to think about exactly what you want the night to look like, and then I'll handle it or whatever. Right. Like it's not about the woman not being involved in the process at all. Right. But the like, it's so interesting because how it's such a small thing, those like being an assertive decision maker and leading in that way, like it seems small in those decisions of like where we want to eat and like that, that kind of thing. But for so many women, it represents so much bigger than that of like, can I trust this man like with my life and with my future, right? Like, and again, that's not happening on a conscious level, but there's a very subconscious thing, like if there's like wishy-washy, like not assertive action taking direction, like all of that, that's a lot of the times what's being felt on a subconscious level for women.
Yeah. I agree. I learned a lot about that. So, all right, we're going to wrap this up here. And we went over a little bit, but that's okay. Hopefully, everybody's, you know, cool with us running over a little bit. How do you stay in your sensuality and really express your sexual expression, right? When you go through a split up, a breakup, right? And you're single at that time and you're really maybe not ready for dating or anything, but how do you stay in, or do you just go without?
Oh, such a good question. There are so many different ways to do this. For me, when I ended my relationship, that opened up, like, I wanted to date. I wanted to, like, have experiences and just, like, see, like, I met my ex-husband when I was 23 years old and we were together for 10 years. And so I, like, so much of my younger like years were with him, right? And so I wanted to like date and everything. But as far as like sexual energy specifically, non-sexual, I mean, having a self-pleasure practice with yourself, right? Doing that, like having that be a regular thing in your life is, I think, very important. Also doing things that bring you pleasure that may not be sexual, right? Like tapping into your, because that's part of sensuality. Sensuality is about connecting with your senses. It doesn't always have to be sexual. It can be as much as like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make my favorite meal and I'm just going to be so present with every single bite. Or like, I'm going to go lay in the sun and like feel how good the sun feels in my front yard and listen to the birds singing and listen to like, and like, smell the flowers in my garden, whatever it is, like tapping into your senses. And then recognizing that sexual energy, right? That's life force energy, men and women, life force energy. That is the most powerful energy that we have access to. That is the energy that went into creating human life, like all of that. And so, yes, you can channel that in the direction of sex, whether with yourself or with somebody else, but you can also channel that into what you are creating, right? If like I've had seasons where I'm like, you know, single and not being intimate with anybody. I've had seasons where I'm also where I'm very intentionally celibate as well. And so when I'm one feeling disconnected from that energy, I'll do those things to make sure it feels alive in me. Because it's easy to think, oh, the only way I can bring that energy to life is through sex. No, there's so many ways we can do that. Creativity, moving your body, again, tapping into sensuality, your senses. But then also like, so if I'm feeling like that energy is a little dull, I'll do those rituals, those habits, all that kind of stuff to kind of like just cook that up in me. If I'm feeling a lot of that energy just happening and I'm like, what do I do with this energy? Right. And I'm like, you know, then I'll be like, go focus it on a project that I feel really passionate about, because that's going to infuse so much magic into whatever it is that you're doing.
It's powerful. That energy is powerful. Here's the thing though, Lauren, and I tell this to people all the time, like we're only as alive to the degree that we are experiencing our senses.
Yeah.
And or perceptions. There's got to be, I don't know how many perceptions are out there, but senses wise, we have five senses, maybe sixth, if you believe in a sixth sense. But we're only alive to the degree that we experience those things and are really aware of them. So mm-hmm. if you're not, you're pretty much dead or close to being yeah. dead. So, you know, this is powerful stuff you're working on. I got to wrap this up though, because I mean, I could yes. talk to you for hours. There's more to talk about, but listen, where can people find you the easiest? Where do you want to send people?
I would say connect with me on Instagram is probably the best place. It's Lauren Salon, S-A-L-A-U-N. And then my website, laurensalon.com. I've got tons of free stuff. I've got, you know, go at your own pace programs, all of that kind of stuff. My year long, Queendom program is available there as well. So yes, Instagram or my website.
Awesome. Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for being here and sharing and being vulnerable.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, hang tight. Well, I'll wrap this up. Folks, listen, thank you so much for joining us, listening to me and Lauren's conversation. I hope you learned something today. I hope you can take it and impact your life with it. It's your boy C-Rock here, signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, be that
awesome. Music licensing reimagined.